Lord, I ask your peace be with us all, and I ask your love be with us all. Give us hope that we may continue to love you and to serve you in the way you like it. As we come to you this day, on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day, and on the Day of Communion, give us the capacity that we may put your word in our heart, and we shall use it. I ask you and pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Yvonne, can you help me? This, actually, I did a PowerPoint. It's on the desktop. It's Luke 17. Yeah, it's on the desktop. Luke 7, it's on Luke 13. 10 to 17. Yeah. Thank you. Today I've been kind of overwhelmed with everything's going on. So I'm sorry I forgot to tell you. Yeah. Till We Have Faces is a great book by C.S. Lewis. Now, if you have read the books of C.S. Lewis, this is, I would tell you, this is my favorite novel from all, among all C.S. Lewis books. The title first caught me. I am not going to talk about this book, but the title of the book. Let us talk about labeling. As human, we name things. In Genesis, God asked Adam to name all the animals. This is a sign of dominion. I name my pet, my own dog, with the name, along comes my expectation of the very being that is named. I don't know why your parents named you the way it is. There must be a reason. I don't know why they name you the name it is. Noel, what does it mean? Do you know what is their expectation? Caleb, what does it mean? Do they want you to live long and prosper so that your name is Caleb? I don't know. But there must be a reason, and most likely a meaningful reason. At the same time, we give nicknames to people we like or we do not like. To the people we like, we give him or her a cute name. To the people we do not like, we give him maybe a very cute name, but usually it's meant to be cruel. And there was, I used to have a teacher. We gave him the name as the Bulging Eye Goldfish. So what do you think? Is it supposed to be a cruel name or is it a cute name? Cruel name, of course. Yes, we didn't like him. Particularly, I don't like him. Now, in this way, we can label them in a way that we want them to be. This is the Bulging Eye Goldfish, okay? And he is not human. We label them in a way that we want them to be. During the World War II, Nazi and the white supremacist would call Jews rats. And at the same time, Chinese were called swine by Japanese Imperial Army. So we know the consequences. Jews were put into concentration camp. The story of Auschwitz and Nanjing massacre appear not to be so atrocious to them, because we are just slaughtering rats and swine. That is exactly what happened during Jesus' time and was exposed by Jesus in the scripture we have just read today. The story itself is pretty simple. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus preached to the Jews in synagogue. One of them was a woman who was crippled by demon for 18 years. Jesus first released her from the demon's possession, then healed her from her ailment. The woman started praising God. Please note that she did not thank Jesus first, but rather she praised God immediately. But the leader of the synagogue did not like it at all and began citing the practice of not healing on Sabbath. The man was indignant and kept reciting the Sabbath is not the day for healing. Please, first slide. The leader of the synagogue, indignant, okay? And then he said, kept saying. He did not say it once. He kept saying it. He was definitely not happy. This man was indignant and kept reciting the Sabbath is not the day for healing. I believe the final comment of Jesus to the leader of the synagogue is the key message of the passage. He called him a hypocrite. Why was he called a hypocrite? Now, we have to understand the word hypocrite did not carry the same connotation as we do today. It was not a cultural term that carries the negative meaning. It's just a neutral term to signify somebody impersonating somebody who is not. So an actor in Jesus' time would hypocrite as a character. So the synagogue leader act like he is lawful and just and religious, but he himself is not such a person. He is neither lawful nor just nor religious. The reason why healing on Sabbath was not permitted is not known from the text. If we read the text carefully, we find nobody can point out what Jesus did wrong to contradict the commandment of Sabbath. Look at all the passages, and we don't see. They say Jesus broke the law. Nobody say it. It's just a practice. It's not the law. Healing on Sabbath did not break the law. Obviously, there was no such law against healing on Sabbath. It should be a practice of the time. Since the Gospel of Luke records 5 passages about healing on Sabbath, we could pretty much deduce that this is a tradition championed by a Pharisee at that time. It has become a practice, and it was not supported by law, but by the practice of Pharisees. So everybody was doing it. So this is something we have to hold on to. However, nobody can really pinpoint Jesus wrong. Comparing the speech of the synagogue leader's speech and Jesus' speech, you unveil the crux of the problem. When the synagogue leader spoke about Jesus' healing and the crippled woman, he never mentioned about the person. He only talked about the matter of fact. What he says may not be wrong. Let's look at the next slide. Okay? Yes, out of 7 days or 6 days, she can seek for her cure and be healed. Among 7 days, Jesus has all 6 days to heal to his heart's content. Jesus did not need to heal on Sabbath. The crippled woman did not need to be healed on Sabbath. Why, out of all 7 days, you have to be healed on this particular day, Sabbath? It doesn't need to be. One more crippled day would not make a difference in the long 18 years. Think about that. 18 years is 6,574 days, including leap years. Why not wait one more day? Why not wait one more day if you have waited for 6,000 days already? What's so hurry? In his speech, human is not a factor. Only the quote-unquote law or the practice matters. and you look at what the leader said, he has not mentioned the woman by a name or by a pronoun anywhere. He just talked about the law. It is not right. You have 6 days to be healed. Why choose this particular Sabbath day? Jesus has a rather different response. His concern is not with the matter of fact. Jesus talked about what is humane. The point where the hammer hit the nail is, and ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, a daughter of Abraham. What Jesus did there is very significant. He put an identity onto this woman. She is the daughter of Abraham. Now, she is not any object of Pharisaic practice. She's no longer an object. Because when the leader of the synagogue talked, he talked about her as an object within the practice of Jewish law. But Jesus put this woman squarely in the realm of humanity. It's not only humanity. She is Abraham's daughter. Hey, she is actually your daughter. She is everybody's sister. For all those who claim to be sons and daughters of Abraham, she is one of you. Among all the daughters and sons of Abraham, all the Jews will tell you, we are the sons and daughters of Abraham. Hey, this woman is a daughter of Abraham, not unlike you, just like you are. She now has a face you can see, a person you should know. This crippled woman might have been around the synagogue for a long time. It looks like she's always near. It looks like she always comes to synagogue. But to the leader of the synagogue, she has no face. We don't talk about her. She has no name. She doesn't even have a pronoun in the mind of this leader of synagogue. But she has become an object of discussion in Jesus. But Jesus returned her humanity to her, stating her as the daughter of Abraham, a woman with flesh and blood and with a face to tell. She has a face to tell. In reality, when we dehumanize a person or a group of persons, we want to render them into faceless people. That is why some would call the blacks niggers or even monkeys, Jews, rats, gay people, faggots. When these people were denigrated into monkeys and swine and faggots, we have no restraint to treating them, no matter how unjustly or even inhumanely. It is because they are not human, because they are being blended as a mere object of discussion. When I was young, when I watched TV, and at that time there was a lot of Western movie. Those of us who are old enough should know about John Wayne and his Westerns. At that time they were called Indians, but in Chinese it's even worse. They are the Red Barbarians, because Native American or the First Nation people, the color is red, right? So the Red Barbarians, they are just barbarians. If we slaughter them,
it's okay. Then come hate crimes. Blacks are only niggers. Niggers has no meaning. Niggers. As soon as we label this person has lost his or her own identity, but was blended by an identity given by me. In this way, we feel like we own this person. We can apply to him or her any inhumane action without shame or guilt. Going back one verse, Jesus pointed out the hypocrisy of the Jews and the Pharisees, for the practice was to untie their ox and donkeys to drink water and eat hay. One more slide. Further down to chapter 14, in their practice, they would have their own sons and oxen if they are in harm's way. They would save their own sons and oxen if they are in harm's way. Why not this woman? Since this woman was only an object of discussion, she was not considered worthy to be saved. The ox, donkey, and son meant a lot to their owners because they have a stick in them. They have a stick in their ox and donkeys and their own children. They did not feel like they have a stick in the woman's life, or simply put, they don't care because this woman was not a worthy human being to them. Just a crippled woman walking around or just come to synagogue, maybe begging for food and money. They're no longer human being. The synagogue leader is a hypocrite because he did not really care about the law nor the practice as long as the practice does not harm their own interest. But when it comes to the others, their practice applied because they did not have any stake in other people's lives. Hey, this is your problem. It's not my problem. If you get healed a day later, it's okay with me. But if my donkey die, or if my donkey go hungry, it's a problem. Brothers and sisters, we are in an age of populism in the name of pluralism. A lot of time, pluralism and populism cannot differentiate between themselves. Pluralism means we are all different. Populism means we are different, but my difference is more important than your difference. The slogan is for a society of tolerance, but in reality, it's a populistic society. When we concern too much about political correctness, we may step onto thin ice. Behind all the political correctness, there are human beings who have their stick in it, not merely ideology. True tolerance means giving every single person a face to be recognized with. This is one very good or important something I really like about the American Constitution. The First Amendment, freedom of speech. Freedom of speech means a whole lot more than speech. Freedom of speech means one can be oneself. One can be oneself. I have the freedom to tell you who I am, what I like, what I don't like, without harming the other person. Knowing their true self as a genuine human being created by our Heavenly Father, it really does not matter what you believe in. There is still humanness in him or her. So we treat everyone like a human being with compassion, love, and understanding, even though this person is very, very different from who I am. Eventually, you and I can still disagree, but we shall agree to disagree with respect. With respect. As a Christian, we want to evangelize, but when somebody who refuses to become a Christian, despite my greatest effort,
I still need to respect this person as a human being.
As Christian, there's a characteristic we have to possess to be like Jesus. He looks upon the whole world. He considers all human as human he loves. In the Gospel of John, in one of the most favorite passages, he said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep."
Jesus knows his sheep. Jesus knows each one of us, and our faces are recognized by Jesus. We are not a number. We are not just a mere number in him. We are not just a mere name in him. He recognizes us. He knows us.
As Christian, all the world be known to be as if they are my friend. They have a face I recognize and I can love them.
The problem of the leader of synagogue starts when he failed to give this woman a face that he can recognize, a face that he knows. Now, there are times we will be angry with some people, and then we begin to put on their face with all the wrong image and start labeling in the right or wrong reason. But a face is unique. A face is unique. It's so unique that face recognition is easy. As long as you have a high-definition camera, you can tell this is exactly this person. So with artificial intelligence, China becomes the greatest state with face recognition technology, because it's so unique, you can mistake anybody. If you have heard from the news that there was a guy who eluded capture from the police for 15 years, he committed a murder, but he eluded the police for 15 years. Why he was caught? Because he went to a pop singer's concert and recognized by the CCTV. Recognized that the CCTV captured his face. And with the AI, tell this is the criminal. Comparing with the data, with the database, this is the criminal. So they apprehend this criminal right after the concert. Our face is so unique to us. It can be done in a harmful way, but at the same time, it also gives us an identity. If I know you, if I know your face, naturally, I treat you as a human being. If I don't know you, I don't know your face, you are just a number, just a generic name, it's very different. When Jesus said, "I know my sheep," he knows. Let's give everybody a face and recognize him, and then I can begin to love. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, because you are the Father, you have given us so much love that we slowly come to senses that you are the God who knows us. You know what's the best for us. You know what is the worst for us. So you come to us and let us know. You are the shepherd, good shepherd. You know your sheep. You call them by name. You see them, look at their faces, and call them out by name.
because you truly know us. And you begin to love us. And shall we learn from you? That we learn to give a face, a meaningful face, a human identity to those people, to our fellow human beings, that we can begin to love them. May they be so different from us. When we go to the mission field, there are many different people. When we come back to our own society, there are many different people from all races and from all cultures. Lord, teach us how to see them as one of us, a daughter of Abraham, that we may begin to love them. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen.